right, Christopher Hatcher, in the Student Financial Aid Department at UNF, you probably see a lot of students facing the question about how much debt they should take on. What are some of the issues that you see them facing?
The one thing that I see that's being addressed here is communication. I know a lot of students and families that come into my office and they simply don't know what their options are. So I think that from a personal perspective, the memorandum that the president sent out yesterday is going to do a lot to address that and try and increase communication and make it so that the student loan borrowers know what they can actually do to try and repay their debt appropriately.
And how will the president's plan address that?
It'll do four things, actually. The four goals are, number one, to increase access to the pay-as-you-earn student loan repayment program, which right now is an existing program, but it currently has limited access. So only students that have more recent loans are able to take advantage of this program. The second thing that it does is it's going to increase communication for vulnerable borrowers. So those that say they missed their first student loan repayment or they're at risk of default, it's going to try and communicate to them better. The third thing that it's going to do is that it's going to create new partnerships with private sector entities like tax preparation firms to try to, when people are filing their taxes, make them knowledgeable of the repayment options that are available.
There are plans that will benefit them, they just don't realize that they exist.
Exactly, and I know that from personal experience. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth thing that they're going to do is they're going to critically analyze what they currently have. So right now, students are required to do specific counseling tools on studentloans.gov, the federal government's website, but they want to analyze that and see what's working, what's not working, so that they can hopefully develop new tools in the future to try and curtail student loan default.
From your experience working with that program and that website, what is working and what's not working?
I think that it works for certain students. Now at UNF, we require all students to complete that counseling, and we actually take great measure to do that. But I think that analyzing it will do a good deal to make it better. Just like analyzing anything would probably make it better. I mean, I don't think that they've done that before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they've always had the counseling out there, but to try and make it as good as possible will be a good effort to undertake.
There's no question that the cost of college has gone up, and the critics of this plan, that's the first thing that they note, is it doesn't address that issue, that the cost of college is rising. So how much is that the problem, and how much is it a problem that when you're 18 years old, you have no idea how much this sum of money really is, what it's going to mean to have to pay it back?
I think this is one approach of several that have been undertaken by the Obama administration. The first of which that they've been doing for several years is increased disclosure. So we are required to put certain disclosure pieces out to students and families to let them know how much are we going to cost, what's our graduation rate, what's our retention rate, which wasn't there in the past. And the effort is basically to try to disclose that information so that hopefully there would be increased competition, and increased competition would hopefully drive down prices to some certain extent. So I think that this is just another step in that goal to try and, you know, make college more affordable across the board.
This is a very serious problem. Some of the statistics here, the average student who graduates with outstanding loans is almost $30,000 in debt. And of course, over the past three decades, the average tuition at a public four-year college has more than tripled, while incomes haven't grown much at all. So it's a serious problem, and a lot of people believe it's starting to weigh on the economy. We're going to go now to Rob on the West Side, who is holding to talk to Christopher this morning. Good morning, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank y'all for addressing this issue. I believe it's something that has been going on for quite some time. I graduated myself in 2002 from University of South Alabama over in Mobile, Alabama, and was in the field of education and private education, and was able to pay on my student loans up till about 2006-07 when the economy started going downhill. And my biggest problem since then has been that I have had to put my student loans on forbearance and deferments because I haven't been able to find a job paying what I was once making to be able to afford my student loans. And, you know, I'm now getting to a point where I'm about to run out of that and maybe facing the possibility of default. And I'm still in the position of I can't find a job that pays me enough to make my basic daily livings, like rent and electricity bill, et cetera, and still be able to afford my student loan. That's a huge problem out there.
Yeah, so how much does it weigh on you that you have this debt kind of hanging over your head?
Every day it bothers me. There's nights, you know, that I can't sleep because it's such a problem.
Sorry you're dealing with that, Rob. Christopher, I imagine this is a pretty common story.
I think that it is. I think that what Rob is saying is how the system was designed, though. So he ran into a situation where he wasn't able to make his payments. The deferment and the forbearance options that are available are for that specific reason, so to help stave off default. So I think that what students in that situation should try to do would be to contact their loan servicers to figure out which of these income-driven repayment plans that currently exist could they get into to try and make this as manageable as a situation as possible.
Again, we're talking student debt and student loans with UNF's Assistant Director of Student Financial Aid, Christopher Hatcher. And you can join the conversation by calling us this morning at 549-2937. Email the show, firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, or send me a tweet at Karen Fagans. Another interesting part of Obama's plan is debt forgiveness. After 20 years, your debt is forgiven, or 10 years if you're a public servant. What are the thoughts on that? I mean, I know critics are saying you take on this loan, you should have to pay it off. But I'm sure that's very attractive to people who are in a financial situation like Rob.
There are many families that come and meet with me that are from the middle income, and they basically throw their hands up and say, well, what's there for me when I'm not eligible for a Pell Grant, when I'm not eligible for scholarships? The student loan program and these different benefits of the student loan program are there for those individuals so that they do have the opportunity to still go to school, afford it, and be able to make those payments. And if they are, in a situation where they can have some of their loans written off, I would say that that's a benefit of the program that they should have access to because they don't have access to other benefits.
What about the impact that this potentially has on the larger economy? If 71% of those people earning a bachelor's degree now graduate with debt. So you see these students at graduation time. How do you think it affects their choices? And, they're probably not buying houses, buying cars, things that formerly college graduates would do as they enter the economy.
Well, I know that I wouldn't be here sitting today if I didn't have federal student loans and if I wasn't still paying them back. So I think that to a certain extent, it's a reality of today's system that certain lower and middle income families have to undertake. And what's important is the financial literacy. And that's part of what this memorandum is going to do to try and make sure that there is communication as to what you can do if you do have to take out these loans. Because what the president was saying yesterday in his comments was basically that this is for the students that they do what they're supposed to do. They go to school. They need to take loans, so they take out loans.
Mm-hmm.
They graduate, and then they repay, and maybe they need help with their repayment. So I think that it all goes to, this is what we're expecting students to do nowadays. And so as many options that can be created, I think that's going to be good.
I'm sure that helps when you're counseling students and they know that you're in the same situation.
Absolutely. Very much so.
We have a tweet from Daniel. Daniel says, lost my college fund to a Ponzi scheme, even with in-state and bright futures, left the University of Florida with honors and $40,000 in debt. We're going to go now to Nicole, who is on hold. You can join the conversation again, the number 549-2937. Nicole in Arlington, you're on the show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What's your comment or question today?
I just wanted to let the listeners know that if this issue is very important to you, if you go to govpac.us, you can contact your senator and urge them to vote in favor of the bill.
Okay, what was that website again?
govtrack.us, govtrack.us.
All right, and I take it from the call that you are in favor of some sort of student loan legislation.
Oh, yes, very much. I'm going to take a load off my back.
What is your student loan situation? Do you have a pretty high payment?
I'm over the average. I'm around $40,000 in debt, and my payment's nearly $500 every month. And if I could get that off my back, I could buy a house. I could start a family. Right now, that's not even a little bit possible.
And when you were in college and accumulating this debt, did you have any idea what type of effect it would have on your future?
No, I was completely clueless. I think right before I graduated, I had to find out what my payment would be, and my jaw dropped. I had no idea.
Yeah, and what do you think would have helped you?
Definitely to know what the monthly payment would have been, because the lump sum over 3 years, over 30 years, doesn't sound like it's terrible, but then it really is when you know what your monthly payment is and when your interest is almost 8%.
All right, Nicole, thank you so much for that call. And I'm sure this is something that you see quite often. The reality hits when graduation time comes around and they see what the bill is actually going to be.
Well, I think Nicole hit on a good point that, if she didn't receive the information that she needed, then the existing counseling tools apparently, aren't affecting all people appropriately. So I think that part of this memorandum that the president sent out yesterday that will be targeting this to try and make it better communication will hopefully result in this situation not happening in the future.
She mentioned the Senate bill. Senator Elizabeth Warren is proposing a plan. They're going to talk about it in the Senate next week that would allow federal loan borrowers to refinance their loans at the current rate for new undergraduate loans, which is 3.84%. Getting the bill passed is going to be a huge uphill battle, even if it passes the Senate. Not very likely to pass in the House. A lot of a lot of political discussion about this in the next few months, I'm sure. We have another call. Bev on the South Side. Bev, good morning. What is your situation?
I'm a parent calling in, but I recently learned of a program that I've never heard of before, and it's if you work for a not-for-profit or non-for-profit company for 10 years that your student loans are forgiven. Are you familiar with this type of program? The lady that was informing me of it is a graduate of a northern college, but as far as mine, fortunately my family education is a priority and we do make choices so the children come out pretty much debt-free. But this is for, I do work in a not-for-profit situation, and I was wondering if you have heard of this program prior.
All right. Thanks for that question, Bev. I think that was part of the pay-as-you-earn that passed in 2010 that's expanded under this executive order. Is that correct?
Partly. What I think Bev was referring to is the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program.
Okay.
And which basically is a program that could help potentially, like she said, alleviate some of those student loan payments in the long run. Again, the important thing for Bev and people in that situation to do is to contact their loan servicers. So when the federal government went from the FFEL, the bank student loans, to centralizing that so that they're all directly borrowed from the government, they are now having those former banks service these loans. And so they're rated on how well of customer service they give to students. So it's in the student's interest to call them and try and work around to see how best they can repay their loans.
Talk about that change. What was that change from the federal government handling things to the banks?
Yes. In 2009, President Obama began an initiative to switch from, say, your Sallie Mae's, your Nelnet's, any sort of commercial bank from lending student loans to centralizing that. And the idea was that those private banks were receiving subsidies, which was, obviously a cost burden for the federal government. And they realized that if they were to centralize that, they could definitely save money in the long run. And they did that in 2010. So now all federal student loans are borrowed directly from the government. They just now pay companies to do the customer service for them. And in my opinion, that greatly streamlined everything and made it a better program.
And do you think ultimately it's probably saving the government money?
I've seen figures in the $50 to $60 billion range over, I think it's 10 or 15 years.
Okay. Bev raised another interesting point, and that is that a lot of parents scrimp and save for years so that they can help their students avoid this debt. Is it fair to families that that sacrifice if the students who take out these loans have them forgiven or only pay a portion of their true cost of college?
I think that the student loan program in general is important. And I think that regardless of how well your parents prepared for the college that you're going to inevitably need, I think that there are people that are going to need it, even if there are, parents and families that do the proper saving. But, on a more macroeconomic scale, I think that, that's just one of the costs of the program, unfortunately.
All right. Again, we're speaking with UNF's Assistant Director of Student Financial Aid, Christopher Hatcher, and we're talking about the rising burden of student debt. Give us a call and tell us your situation. Ask questions if you have them. We have an expert here in the studio. 549-2937 is the number to join the show. And we're going to go now to Mandarin, where Bill is on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Just three quick points, if I might. First and foremost, this is a national disgrace. An absolute national failure to disgrace our education system. The second thing is, you're talking about kids with $30,000 and $40,000 just coming out of school. We've got grown-ups, sans their house payments, who have that much, they'd be considered in debt fault also. And the third thing here, and I think what might be a starting point to re-examine the failure, was that when I went to college, and that was before both of you guys were born, we didn't have this thing that's called reading seminars and writing seminars to upgrade the incoming freshman class. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right, Bill. Thank you for that call. We're going to go now to Michael at the Beaches. Good morning, Michael.
Yes. My wife and I both have student loans. We've been paying on them for a number of years. Is there anything retroactively? She is in, I guess you could call it government service. She works for the school board. Is there anything that would work retroactively? Most things I've heard, you kind of start from where you're at.
All right. Thanks for that question, Michael.
Yes. I mean, there are some ins and outs to the different repayment plans, but, I feel like, if you were to call your loan servicer and ask about either the traditional repayment plans or the income-driven repayment plans, there may be something that they can do. And again, they are paid and rated off of how well they serve you and how well they help you pay back your student loans. So I would definitely say a call to your loan servicer. And if I haven't mentioned, you can find out who your loan servicer is by either going to studentloans.gov or nslds.ed.gov. That stands for the National Student Loan Database System. So if you don't know who your servicer is, which probably a lot of people don't know who their servicer is, that's where you can go to find that information.
Sounds like this is an answer to many of the questions. So if you have a student loan, it sounds like it would be a good idea to talk to your servicer one way or the other just to see if there's some way that they can help.
Absolutely. And another thing would be, so for like at UNF, we have a specific coordinator that's tasked with helping students with their loans. So each school probably has a person that's their job to try and help people, guide them in the right direction. So I'd say, yes, your resources would be either that or going to the school.
All right, Michael, does that answer your question?
I believe so. She has, I think it's either Fannie Mae or so it doesn't always, sometimes they're excluded from certain things.
Okay, well, see if you can visit one of those websites and find out who to call, and hopefully you can get some help.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. All right, we have another call from Anthony at the Beaches. Anthony, go ahead with your question or comment.
My comment is this. I've been hearing a lot on this show about the equity or the fairness of students or families taking out student loans, and I'm looking for some type of loan forgiveness. I just want to make a comment that Senator Warren has been making and has been ignored a lot in this particular debate, is that a billionaire can discharge all of their debts and not have to pay a single penny back if they meet certain criteria. But a student who, because of unfortunate circumstances, like, for example, if I am diabetic, okay, I've been having problems with my eyesight. If I went blind, I could not discharge my student loan because student loan debt is non-dischargeable. I don't see the equity in that because it's the one thing that our country gives to everyone, all of our debtors, is a second chance, is denied to students who cannot afford education, who have to borrow money to go through college. Is not given to students. And through the last 7 or 8 years, the economy has basically taken 8 years to get back to where it was back in 2007. My last comment is this. A lot of people borrowed a lot of money to get through school, and they were sold a false bill of goods. The jobs aren't out there. And for many people, the student loan debt that they incurred is not repayable.
Okay, Anthony, thank you so much for your comments. And Anthony raises a couple of interesting points. I have heard this many times, and I don't know whether it's true or not, that student loan debt is the only debt that never goes away. Is that accurate?
Not entirely accurate, partially accurate. The one thing that I do want to mention is that the government does have a disability discharge program, where if you are unfortunately, if you do unfortunately become disabled, then you could potentially have your prior student loan debt discharged. Now, it's a rather cumbersome application process, but it is a program that is available, and I would suggest that Anthony try and see if that would be something that could work for him.
The other interesting issue that he raises is about the job prospects for students leaving college right now. The Center for Economic and Policy Research noted that among recent college graduates aged 22 to 27, 45% are underemployed, which means they're either unemployed or doing jobs that don't typically require a four-year college degree. And that makes it pretty difficult to pay back those loans.
It doesn't, but I think that the memorandum that the president is issuing is an attempt to address that. For instance, I was when I graduated, it took me about 2 years to get into a professional job. And so I probably would have had a better go of it had I had some more repayment options available to me back then. So I think that, you know, if the schools and the financial aid office can't do anything about, you know, the job market, then maybe, you know, with the federal government, we can try and do things about making student loan repayments better for students and families.
So before we wrap things up here, tell me what UNF is doing to help students in this situation when they're talking about taking out these loans and as they leave and start to pay them off.
We hold a number of financial literacy events, actually a number of constituents on campus. The different offices get together and we hold events to try and raise awareness for students about financial aid and general financial literacy. We, like I said before, we require the counseling that is available at studentloans.gov, and we vigorously try to make sure that students complete that counseling. My office is available for students to set up appointments if they ever had questions they want to talk about their aid and their student loan repayments. And like I said, we do have a specific coordinator that's what she's there to do, is to try and help students with their student loans and, you know, get them through the process to try and, you know, hopefully not default in the long run.
And final thoughts, what is your suggestion for people who have already incurred this debt, who have a load of student debt that is weighing on them and affecting the way that they live their lives?
I would definitely say to reach out to the loan services, try and see if what options are available for them to use. You know, if you have just recently left school, you know, you can always go talk to your financial aid office to try and see what strategies are there. You know, communication is key. The government does not want students to default. They want to help you repay your loans, and as we've seen with many different repayment options. So I think communication is the important point.
Yeah, and that's important because a lot of times with any kind of debt, people get so stressed out about it that they don't want to deal with it, and it gets worse.
I believe you shut down. So yes, I mean, I think communication is key.
All right. UNF Assistant Director of Student Financial Aid, Christopher Hatcher, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me on the show today, Karen.